Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This year's Lenten series is entitled Places of the Passion. It is a reminder that we find our God in the strangest places. We find him in a crib. We find him on a cross. We find him in a tomb. No matter where we are, and no matter where the place is, our God is there. Now, as we look at the various places in this Lenten story, focus is not so much on the places, but what those places tell us about our sin and our Savior. As we look at the various places, we learn something about humanity and about ourselves and about our God. Tonight, we find ourselves in the place of the trial. We live in a world of trials, not just trials in the courtroom, but trials in everyday life. And as we look at how we react when we find ourselves in the midst of trials, we find that our desires and our wills often change depending on the circumstances. We find that our demeanor, our attitudes, and our words, our actions are often based on our emotions and our feelings rather than on faith. Primary focus tonight is on those words of Pilate where it says, Pilate turned them over to their will. The real question before us tonight is, when we find ourselves in trials, do we seek God's will or our own? In the trial, we see people fighting against the will of God, and yet at the same time, we see the will of God at work. What would we have done had we been at Jesus' trial? Pilate said again and again, three times in the text, Jesus has done nothing wrong. Pilate said, Herod didn't find anything wrong with him either, and that's why he sent him back. Yet Pilate handed him over to the people to do their will. By all of his words, Pilate knew the right thing to do, but he didn't do it. And we may be very critical of Pilate, but in the reading from Romans, Paul admitted the same thing. The good that I would, I do not do. The problems we experience in life most often come about not because we don't know what to do. Rather, when we find ourselves in the midst of trials, we are outnumbered, we feel pressure, we are ridiculed, we are stressed, and so we go along with the crowd. In the midst of trials, including those not in the courtroom, we act based on emotion and not on faith. Faith is taking God at his word, but in the midst of trials, we question the facts about God's love, God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's faithfulness, and God's promises. Yes, we know what is right, but fail to do it. We act based on feelings and emotion, and can we know we are right when it feels so right? Is our will the same as God's will? If Pilate turned Jesus over to our will, what would we do with him? New Year's resolutions are a clear indication that our wills, our desires, our intentions are often good, but quickly set to the side. Instead of acting based on what we know to be right, we act based on anger, fear, hatred, sorrow, or even excitement. Young people feel sure they're in love, so they marry on impulse and later regret it. People become afraid and feel sure that they hear a thief, only to shoot and kill a family member. Strong emotions lead us to adultery, killing, stealing, and other great evil. In trials today, I'm not convinced that the outcome is determined by the facts. In one sense, I'm disappointed when evidence isn't allowed and because it wasn't obtained legally, because it's still evidence and it helps us establish truth. But if trials aren't established on the basis of facts, what determines the verdict? I'm going to suggest to you it's the strategy of the lawyers, the emotion of the people, the intention of the witnesses, perhaps even the bias of the judges. We would expect Jesus' trial to be different. And the reason I say that is because we're reading from the Gospel of Luke. And Luke, from the beginning, says he carefully investigated everything so that he might write an orderly account. So that should lead us to believe that Luke is going to focus on just the facts. But as you read about his trial, he spends a great deal of time talking about the people, the emotions, the behind-the-scenes movement surrounding the case. He tells us about the judges, Herod and Pilate, and their relationship with one another. He tells us that Herod wanted to see a sign, and later changed his mind. And all the while, he tells us about the anger on the part of the chief priests and the teachers of the law. Why does he tell us all of that? Well, Luke doesn't just want us to see Jesus or those involved in the trial. He wants us to see ourselves. And with these words, he's teaching us about a fallen world. He wants us to confess the truth about ourselves. How often our will changes. And how often we want our will rather than God's. Luke knows this trial is not about establishing Jesus' innocence. That fact is firmly established. The question then is, why is an innocent man condemned to die? And to answer that question, Luke writes these words: Pilate delivered Jesus over to their will. That is a fact that best describes our fallen world. It is the will of our fallen world that our God should die. Luke invites us to look into our hearts tonight and to confess the fact that it is also our nature to want our God to die. Jesus said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so also in our lives, there are many times where we know what is right and fail to accomplish the same. It's easy in church to pray and to say that we will live at peace with all people. However, when we have been treated unfairly and unjustly, it's a different matter. It's easy to agree with God when he says we should help the poor, but it's hard to do that when we see that advertisement for a new flat-screen TV, or simply say that we've worked hard for the money we've earned. It's so easy to say one thing in church and to go out into the world and do another. Our will changes with our circumstances. But the trial of Jesus is more than the changing will of humans. It is about the will of God. And this evening, our God enters a place filled with the battles of the human will and transforms it into a place where his eternal will is fulfilled. Even as they mock Jesus, we see God's word being fulfilled. The death of Jesus is part of God's will and eternal plan, because God desires to send his son to die in their place. In the midst of the mocking, the humiliation, the pain, the injustice, Jesus remains faithful. He is committed to God's word, God's will, God's promises, and God's plan. Our world is a world filled with trials, and not just in the courtroom. The trials of unemployment, divorce, sickness, and grief. Trials go on all of the time, week after week. And in those trials, people make judgments about God, about what is right, about what is wrong. Sometimes it receives national attention. Other times it goes unnoticed, in the office, around the lunch table, during the first year of college. How will we live our faith and express it? People repeatedly subject Jesus to a trial and deny him to be Lord. For the world around us, Jesus is not God, and he is certainly not the only way to salvation. Whenever and wherever people with a changing will fight against God, God comes among them fighting for their salvation. In the courts of Jerusalem, in the midst of our congregation, here in Quincy, are people whose wills are ever changing. We too are people who know what to do and do not do it. But in the midst of the world's sin and our sin, God's eternal will doesn't change. He continues to seek us in love. Week after week, he works the wonders of his love. He is pronounced guilty. He dies because he is fully committed to God's will to redeem the world. Here, at the place of Jesus' trial, we learn that our will by nature is for our God to die. Here, at Jesus' trial, we learn that God's ultimate will for his son is for him to die. Yes, at Jesus' trial, we clearly see God's will for us. Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ.